Kink 101 is proud to present Deviant Discussions, where kinksters come together and put the why in kink, with Diavol Diablo, Subtle Shadow, and Glass Girl. This is Deviant Discussions.
So, welcome to season three. Oh my god, woo-hoo! I can't believe that we're on season three, and I can't believe that we're recording it so soon as well. Like,
I know.
I'm pretty sure that we only recorded season two like last week. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure you're like insane, Dee Dee.
Well, you know, when you're on a roll, you're on a roll. But yeah, I mean, like, I had to get all the graphics and everything sorted out. Oh my god, so much work, so worth it. And also, it means I get to chat to you guys, and it's kind of becoming a little bit of like my favorite thing, so I don't mind.
Yeah. Aww.
And also, like, you guys keep going off on all your American and Canadian holidays while I'm just sat here by myself in the UK.
I get so many holidays. It's awesome.
It's disgusting. Like, all hours are at the beginning of the year, and then toward the end of the year, it's just like, okay, so we're just waiting for Christmas now. And then, there's nothing between now and Christmas. We had a bank holiday, like, last week, and now we just have to wait until Christmas. So, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wait, you don't get Thanksgiving?
No, we don't do Thanksgiving. We have no one to thank. Everyone else has their Thanksgiving holidays and, like, you know, thanks the UK on some of them. And here's the UK, like, oh, well, no one did anything for us, so... Or something like that, you know. Not that I'm bitter or anything, but what really annoys me is, like, stores over here have started to get, like, being thankful and I'm thankful for and stuff like that. And I'm like, the fuck are you doing? We don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Stop saying thank you to people.
That's interesting, because in the States, the trend is starting to be away from the term Thanksgiving towards Indigenous Peoples Day, because essentially Thanksgiving is just a mythologized story of pilgrims appearing in, you know, the quote unquote primitive world and giving these poor, again, scare quotes, savages their, you know, their dignity and their worth. And they were so grateful for all the white people, which is really not true.
The word savages just reminds me of that song in Pocahontas. Like, I just start chanting savages in my head.
It's such a terrible term. It's just awful. Bad. Yeah.
I knew someone at school whose surname was Savage, and it always just, like, it just made me chuckle every time someone would be like, blah, blah, Savage. And I'd be like, ha, ha, ha.
Well, there is Dan Savage, so.
Who's Dan Savage?
I feel like I know that name.
Have you just
he's
made
an
it
American
up?
Author. No, he's an American dude. No, Dan Savage. Duh. He's a huge, like, LGBT community activist, like, author, media journalist, dude who people just love for some reason. He's like Gen X, the hero of Generation X in a lot of ways, like Gen X liberals. And I'm kind Fair of enough. More in the millennial camp, so.
I think
actually, I'm a zennial, if I get technical. I'm a micro generation.
I don't even know what generation I am. Like, somewhere
but
in
you're
between.
Where were you born?
88.
Oh, God. Oh, you are totally a millennial. Oh. Not even close to Gen X.
I'm Gen X.
Yay.
Oh, I'm just
I'm
like
kind of
a baby.
Yeah. You are. I'm in the middle. So, like, Xennials remember they have, like, a analog childhood and a digital adulthood. So, like, we're the last generation to remember.
I'm definitely digital.
Time before the internet.
I'm the person that has to, like, you know, show people how to work the TV remote. But I promise I don't say okay boomer when I'm doing it. At least not out loud. Anyway, we digress, as we do. So this week, I wanted to talk about the difference between dominant and domineering, or as I like to call it, D-types versus douchebags. Because I think that pretty much anyone that's ever been looking for a dom has encountered a douchebag instead, that will call themselves a dom. So I wanted to talk about, like, you know, the differences between and how we've encountered that, and just some of the things to look for, which one of our lovely listeners actually sent in a query about some of the red flags of a, like, more of a bully than a dom.
Ooh, yay.
Yeah. So that tied nicely into one of the articles that we have on the site. And I think it's a really good thing to discuss, like, what have we learned as well? You know, as time goes by, you kind of think, oh, you know, that should have been a red flag, but it wasn't at the time. And you reflect back on those experiences that you've had, and you think, oh my God, I was so blind. But or maybe you don't. Maybe you have, like, the best ever experience where you never encounter any douchebags, and wouldn't that be a dream? But I think that would be a very minor portion of the audience.
Yes.
Very. Yeah.
So what do you guys think?
You mean about, like, the difference between,
yeah, like, what would you say,
a dom and a douchebag?
Yeah. What would you say is, like, a clear indicator of person A is dominant and person B is a douchebag?
Oh, okay. Well, like, person A wants to get to know you and person B just wants you to suck their cock.
What if they want to get to know you while you suck their cock?
No, you got to get to know them first.
Got to get to know me before I put your willy in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, with, like, a male dom. I don't have experience with the female or any of the other gender dominant D types. So I can't really speak to the red flag, like, if there's anything gender specific that is a red flag. Like, for me, at least, anyone who owns a penis, in my experience, wants to have it sucked as quickly as possible. And that differentiates the ones who can do that tactfully and, like, are in it for the slow game versus the ones who are, like, wanting a kink dispenser and someone to just do whatever they say because they think that is all the kink is. And yeah, so I'm getting off topic, but that's
not really.
That's kind of, so I think, yeah. I think, like, honestly, it's probably, I think that a lot of times, or at least in my experience when I was younger, like when I was a newbie in this world, I think I made a critical error, which was to assume that because somebody was kinky, that meant that there weren't douchebags here. And it wasn't, I didn't realize I was assuming that until I came across people who were assholes, and I was like, wait, no, this is supposed to be a place where all the cool people hang out. What are you doing here? and I think I fell into that romanticizing of, you know, how DS is supposed to work, and, like, or at least how we're told it's supposed to work, where they just magically know everything that you need and want and desire, and that they're these sexual gods and goddesses that can just, or deities, you know.
Okay. And if that's the case, I've definitely never met a dom that I can remember.
And in actuality, it's just like any other kind of situation, right? Where the difference between a dom and a douchebag is that a dom treats you like a human being with respect. And a douchebag is just like any other douchebag in any other situation. They're just assholes.
I think for me, I see it as, like, the difference between a dominant versus someone who's domineering is, like, someone who's domineering has that arrogance about them where they're purely self-serving and they disregard the S type, which, and the gray area is, some of us kind of like that. You know, we kind of like that dominant arrogance that is out there, and we like kind of being treated a little bit mean when it's consensual and within a dynamic. And so it becomes a bit of a gray area, really. And I wonder if part of that is why you get so many of the messages of, oh, why are you on a kink site if you don't want to talk kinky? And it's the difference between being, like, in an established dynamic with somebody versus just dropping in on someone and being like, hey, talk dirty to me. You know, they're out for their own kicks and they don't give a shit who you are, what you are, or what you want. It's all about what you can do for them. That's probably, like, my biggest difference is if they don't ask you what you're looking for as part of a discussion to build a dynamic, which by definition alone is, you know, it is something that changes and evolves and progresses. If they're not asking you those questions, then they're just not that into you. What about you, Glass?
Well, I think that, you know, douchebags, you know, for the most part, aren't patient. So they're going to, some clues to look for is that they're going to rush you. So they're going to either rush you into that dynamic, rush you into talking dirty, rush you into sending them pictures, rush you into engaging with them in play. Because that's what their goal is. It's not to know you as a person. It's not to really enter into a dynamic with you. It's, you know, to kind of feed whatever urges or whatever fantasies that they have. And so if you slow yourself and slow the pace, if they're not willing to keep pace with you, it's a pretty good indicator that, you know, what they're actually after. And especially if they use tactics like, well, if you don't do this, then you're not a real submissive. You know, I've never had a submissive say no to sending me a picture before. I mean, those are some really big, I think really big signs that they're not authentically dominant or looking for, you know, a dynamic. They're using the dominant role as a way to get pussy.
Laid.
To get laid. Yes. And they won't wait. If you're too slow for them, they're going to move on to somebody else. So make them wait.
I'm curious. I'm not sure if either of you have had experiences with female or NB or queer DOMs and had a similar experience, or is this really just systemic within male, cis male dominance? Is this a problem?
I think it's a more significant problem. And I don't know if that's just because of the way that we're wired. You know, men a lot of the time will just come forward and come out with their intentions and then be self-serving. But I have been approached by a number of female D types that have behaved, well, I've experienced both sides of it. I've experienced them behaving completely differently, and I've experienced them behaving completely the same. And it's, I don't know if it's not even more jarring when they behave like you would expect a guy, where they come in with these expectations and they're like, call me whatever and do this. And, you know, you're going to do this. And I'm like, fuck no, I'm not. You know, they get the same response that a guy would. And I stop seeing the gender divide between them, and they're equal in their douchebaggery. But I
had the same experience.
Yeah, I don't find that it happens as frequently, but it's probably more affecting when it does happen because you just don't expect it. And unfortunately, it has become an expectation for a woman to believe that a man will approach her that way. With like trans or NB or anything like that, I haven't experienced it, but I think that's just part of like where I am in the world and things like that. It's not as prevalent here to have those kind of people be out and adopt that identity. So I just haven't encountered as many of them.
Okay.
I hope to in future, and I will let you know the statistics.
Cool. Come back to us for science.
For science.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Kind of going back to something Glass said earlier about how D-types want or domineering douchebags would like to rush things. I think that's 100% accurate. And I also think it kind of underscores the danger of being a beginner in kink because you also want to rush.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is it like the equivalent of frenzy?
Yeah, I think that a lot of, I would venture to guess that of all predators, you know, sexual predators in the kink community, you know, they all get and understand what frenzy is, and they're going to take advantage of it because they know that someone who is going into, you know, all wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to explore this world, that they're, you know, fresh meat. Like, it's like throwing chum in a shark tank. It's very sad. I mean, I was the chum when I first came into it. And yes, he was domineering. He wanted me to do a lot of things that I thought were hot because I was being told what to do. It didn't matter that I may not have really wanted to do those things, you know, like, I was like, oh, this is submission. So maybe part of the kink that I haven't fully appreciated yet is that I'm doing things I don't want to do, you know, like, and so I say that, and then I'm like, well, you know, there's CNC, but, I think that, yeah. So anyway, so I think the rushing aspect component of D types that are like that is a very dangerous, huge red flag.
It is. And, you know, I mean, we've like touched on frenzy, especially on the website, you know, we talk about the dangers of not taking things slowly and whatnot. And mm-hmm. as much as I wonder if it is like the equivalent of a frenzy for how much they want to rush things, it's also, like you say, the people that are those assholes that want to rush things are the ones that target those newcomers to the scene. Mm-hmm. But I don't hear of that targeting happening the other way so often. Like S types that are experienced, you don't hear about them targeting new D types to try and build them into the D type that they want.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it happens and I would love to hear stories about it because I think it would be fascinating to flip that switch.
I won't disclose the location, but I did know of a systemic issue in one community where there was a group of it was a group of female dominants who would prey on male submissives who were new and would invite them to these training parties. And these women were just essentially assaulting these men and telling them that this is how these types of things are done.
That's a D type taking advantage of the S type. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I guess I was thinking in my head. I was still back on the female dominant thing.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Female dominant. It's funny that you see more, like, when I watch, rarely, but when I do happen to see, like, porn or anything like that, or I have a lot of, like, BDSM on my Twitter, and the videos that you see are always more hardcore when they are female dominance, I think. Like, you see the female dominance doing a lot more extreme things to the male submissives than you see like male dom female sub porn. And it's funny because one of the things that's always raised is, oh, it's always a female sub with a male dom, like in the media or anything like that, or, you know, on stock images are a prime example. But when I actually think about it, I have always really, really struggled to find male dominant led porn. I mean, they might slap a penis across a girl's face, but it's not like BDSM porn. It's just men being
really
weird. Yeah. Well, I've struggled.
I can send you some.
I have quite a few.
Yeah.
Well, how long is it taking you to build that collection? And like, when you were first looking for it, did you think it was difficult to come by?
No, I didn't
find it. Not at all. It was super easy for me. Yeah.
Maybe I'm just typing in the wrong keywords.
I don't know. Just go to Pornhub and type in BDSM and like 90% of it's going to be dominant men over female, in my opinion, or in my experience, like when I'm looking, but.
I wonder if it's just a Twitter thing then. Maybe I just need to reevaluate who I'm following on Twitter.
Maybe so.
I mean, it's rare that I go on Twitter, you know, social interaction. I'm not exactly well known for it, but on the rare occasions that I do, my Twitter feed is full of women, you know, humiliating, degrading, and beating up men. So
I would agree with that on Twitter for sure.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like in on porn websites. Like,
oh God,
I never use.
I'm going on a porn website. What the hell?
Ouch. Well, kink shame much?
Like, oh no, not kink shaming. It's just I don't do the porn thing. Like, heck no. I'd have to search for things, and by which time my limited sex drive would have worn off, and just way too much effort. Like, heck no.
Okay, well then I cannot speak to social media porn. I can only speak to the places where porn is usually kept.
Well, I have to wonder, like, why, in terms of like a marketing strategy, why is social media more dominated by female dominance when men navigate naturally to porn websites and will pay for that? Like, what are they getting on Twitter that they're not getting from a porn site? Oh, now that's an interesting world.
The men that I follow on Twitter, they're posting, like, you know, a lot of what I would say is like mainstream, you know, maybe there's like a light spanking, you know, mostly mainstream porn. Mm. A lot of like, you know, cock sucking.
And what about like the females? What do they post?
Well, the female doms that I follow, or, you know, even some of male submissives that I follow, it is very much that I would say it's more what you would see at a dungeon for sure.
Interesting. Anyway, that was a slight, you know, digression, again. So, I mean, I know, Glass, you've got experience with a bully of a dom. I don't know that you want to talk about it, but if there was advice that you could give looking back, so someone that might be in the position that you were in where it was, you know, the highs of DS, but the lows of not a dominant personality, just an asshole, what advice would you give to people?
I think that, I mean, as I said before, you know, a lot of, you know, domineering douchebags will rush you. But there are some, you know, who have a long game. I think, you know, looking at, if I were to look back, there was a bunch of red flags, that I saw, and then they were just explained away. So I think that, you know, trusting yourself, trusting your gut, if something feels off, if you're uncomfortable, if you're seeing lots of rage or anger or jealousy and possession, and that's not something that's kind of been, you know, negotiated into your play as far as like, you know, kink or into your dynamic itself. If you're being isolated, you know, if they're cutting you off from friends and family, if they want your whole world, to revolve around them, and that's not something that you as a submissive are looking for. You know, those are all signs. But sometimes, you know, you don't see them till it's too late, or you see them one at a time and they kind of collect over time, you know?
Yeah.
But trust your gut, because you're honestly, your gut knows, like, it really does. And as incredible as dynamics can be and incredibly beautiful and powerful it is to be a submissive and, you know, be in that kind of dynamic, it's not worth risking losing yourself completely. You know, right. it's not, you know, there will be somebody else. You will have other opportunities to explore, you know, that one dom who's pursuing you heavily or, you know, isolating you, or you've seen a one or two red flags. They aren't the only person that's ever going to cross your path. There will be other opportunity. So save yourself.
Yeah.
And do you think that it's harder to be able to see that difference between a dom, like a dominant personality versus a domineering personality, if you're already within a dynamic? Because it could be that you've established a dynamic and you've had that honeymoon period and it's wearing off. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's more difficult to, because, you know, I mean, the number of people that post those messages, like screenshots of messages that they've received, and it's easy to identify, but I know how many times I've heard the old, you know, love is blind and things like that. And when I've been in dynamics, I've struggled to see things at the time. But then when reflecting back on them, I'm like, holy shit, how did I miss that? Do you think that it's more difficult because you're in the dynamic?
100%. 100%. Because, you know, especially, you know, if you're in a 24/7, like if you're in total power exchange, as well, the lines get blurred between in play and out of play because your dynamic's always on, right? So if we're having, you know, a sexual play or some sort of, you know, BDSM play, and I'm being called a worthless whore, and I think it's hot, right? But then I'm in the, you know, kitchen doing dishes and someone's angry with me and calling me a worthless whore, and it feels terrible, right? Same words, still in the dynamic.
Yep.
And so it's very easy to gaslight yourself into being like, well, this is just what I signed up for. This is just part of it. It's not. It's not.
Another aspect of that too, at least from a new perspective, was I thought that I was the only one who rationalized in this train of thought until I heard it from somebody else. And I was like, oh, maybe this happens to others, is that I had a guy express interest in me as a submissive. And to me, I was like, you know, there's a few things that kind of unsettle me, but he's been in this lifestyle for a really long time and I could learn from him. Like I could get the experience that I need from this person. And since I'm approaching it in that way, that means it'll be okay and safe. And that's not, that's not true. Please don't think that way. But that's kind of how, so like I compromised some of my own boundaries because I was like, just got into that mindset glass, kind of like what you were saying, where I was like, I'll never get another opportunity like this. This is like once in a lifetime. Like I can totally learn so much from this person who clearly knows more than I do. And that eagerness to learn can be also a danger to yourself. So just kind of to check yourself on those feelings, and also to talk to friends if you're unsure about something, I think is super important. And to take their word for it, please. I know I don't, but I don't know if anyone really does, but I mean, it's just like, we all know we should take each other's advice, but when it comes down to it, it's like, no, I got this. Thanks though, guys.
Yeah. I'm great at giving advice, but terrible at taking it for sure.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess my last point, it kind of touches on what you just said, Glass, about the jealousy and the rage and the aggression and things like that. I know from, like the right side of the slash is more of an S type mentality. I've felt that jealousy and things like that when my partner has either expressed, you know, an intention to talk to other people or play with other people, or I mean, you know, sometimes people are assholes and go and do it anyway without discussing it first. And then from the other side of things, I've been the one that has wanted to, you know, have multiple dynamics on the go or things like, you know, different play partners. And I wonder how you balance that whilst, well, how would you expect a dominant to balance that effectively? Because none of us can speak from an entirely D-type perspective, but if we were to give the D-type advice in how to approach that, either dealing with your own jealousy or dealing with your S-type's jealousy in a constructive way, how would you recommend that?
Well, I think, you know, jealousy point, I mean, everyone feels jealous at some point in their lives. I think especially in you know, romantic or BDSM or any type of, you know, relationship. And I think it's important to recognize that it's what you do with it that matters, mm-hmm. right? It's how you, the action you take or the inaction you take. So if I'm voicing, you know, that I'm feeling jealous because, you know, perhaps my dominant's talking to someone else, or, you know, if I were a dominant, you know, my submissive is talking to someone else. I'm uncomfortable with you talking to someone else. This is how I'm feeling, and working it through together versus accusations of you're cheating, you're a whore, you know, mm-hmm. how dare you like their photo, how they commented on your picture and said you were beautiful. Who is this person? Why are they talking to you? Why are they being familiar? Tell me right mm-hmm. now. I don't believe you. Like, there's a very different, there's a big difference between approaching someone saying, I'm feeling really jealous about this. Like, can yeah. we talk about it? And raging with accusations mm-hmm. to the point where your submissive is afraid to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Dee Dee, I think we had also talked a bit about at the beginning that someone had submitted a question.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've ever gotten to it.
I mean, the question was about some of the red flags of a bully type dom.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So I think we've covered it off quite nicely. I mean, if we haven't and that listener is listening, which I hope they are, then feel free to get in touch and say, you guys suck, tell me more. but no, I think we've definitely answered that one. So I think what I'd like to highlight is that even though we're speaking from a submissive perspective or an S type perspective, you know, we're all more on the right side of the slash. Well, I mean, I just float, but from an S type perspective, if these are the red flags that are being raised, and they are the red flags that are being raised across kink social media, it's not just three women sitting down and saying it for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take heed. Like, if you mm-hmm. are a D type and you're wondering why you're getting these, like, you know, I know that when I reply to people half the time, I'm bristling straight away because I'm like, well, I'm not the best example, but I usually expect them to have poor intentions. So, you know, I want any D types that are listening to not think that we're just bashing those people. We're just mm-hmm. trying to highlight the kind of behavior that we're encountering and why it makes us respond in the way that we do as quickly as we do. It's not that we're angry. It's not that we're bitter. It's not that we've been mistreated by every man we've ever encountered or every woman we've ever encountered. It's a prevalent problem. And without talking about it and without listening to that conversation, that dialogue that happens about the problem, nothing's ever going to change. So if just one person that's on the D type side of the spectrum listens and thinks, shit, I have behaved like that, maybe that's why I've got to the position that I'm in where women don't want to talk to me or men don't want to talk to me, it could be why.
I also just want to say that if you find yourself, you know, if you're submissive or, you know, basically an S type, and if you find yourself asking yourself, is it supposed to be like this? Like, am I supposed to feel this bad? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to, or if you find yourself Googling, mm-hmm. What does domestic abuse look like? What does violence in a relationship look like? Those are pretty big clues.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Definitely. Definitely. All right. Well, on a slightly more positive note, thanks for joining us for episode one of season three, and we look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you'd like to know more about kink and BDSM, or if you have your own adventure to share, please visit kink101.com. That's kynk101.com. Because we put the Y in kink.